You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from lead pastor Andy Hunt. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Good evening, everyone. It's so incredible to see so many leaders here in the room. And if you're not, like Matt said, if you're not involved in leadership here at church at all, you are a leader in some capacity, and we all are. Just because you're a life group leader doesn't mean your identity is life group leader. You are a follower of Christ, and underneath that, we have the opportunity to lead in so many different areas. And so as we accept that responsibility to lead, it is not just in doing a job, but it is in exempling Christ to those who we have influence over. I want to just thank you, first of all. Thank you so much for being on the journey with us as a church, as we endeavor to see just the people in this community around Churnside Park come to know Jesus. And it's not lost on me that God has chosen for us all to live in this same area at this same time and attend this church and to come along and link arms together in leadership and say, hey, let's go. We're going to do this together. Like, if you, the people next to you, whether they're family or friends or not, or the people behind you, you may not have ever spoken to them before. And yet here we are on mission together. And I think we always can need to continue to remember that this is one big old family. We are one big family, and we are on that journey together. I mean, it's exciting, and I'm overjoyed to be able to do that with you guys as well. But tonight we're here, and I hope that you're here with this thought in mind, that I'm keen to grow in my leadership. After all, we call this thing becoming better leaders, and we want to actually, at the end of this, become a better leader. Now, many of you would know my first job. You know what my first job was? Where it was? Have a look. There we are. There's Liam and I just filling up the fruit and veg aisle. We're having a ball, as you can see. You know, we're so happy to be lining up those apples. I'm not sure if Liam's ever worked in fruit and veg, have you, Liam? No, on this day he was, though. Just when they took that photo, he was working in fruit and veg. You know, like, I didn't start in fruit and veg, and you maybe go back to that other slide so that's not distracting behind me the whole time. But I didn't start up there. I started on the front end, scanning things through and taking the money and all that sort of stuff, and eventually worked into the produce department where I would learn how to do different things. And in the meantime, I had developed such a love for my job round at Woolies that I ended up leaving uni to pursue a career at Woolworths. A lot of people laughed at me, like that laugh came through right there. Someone, that was the natural response of people, including my family. Like, what are you doing? Leaving, like, what is a good uni course, being a primary school teacher? Yeah. And stacking shelves. And Joyce was like, amen, what are you thinking, Andrew? You would call me Andrew, Joyce, don't you? You call me. and so I thought about that. But the reason I did it is because I felt like that was God's direction for me. And so I said, yes, God, I will. But I had developed a passion for that. And so I stepped out of my uni course and went straight into Woolies and straight into management, or a management course at Woolies. And the great thing about a business like Woolies is that it has so much resource behind it, and everything is systemized. I knew how to order stock, and I knew how to do counting of different things. I knew how to do budgeting. I knew how to do rostering, merchandising, negotiating. All of this came because there was a management pathway. There was a systemized learning process for me to become a manager. And I could do that. But there's one part of being a manager that you didn't get taught in a systemized manner, and that's the most difficult part about being a manager, which is managing people. And we talk about it, and we could talk about it, and we could see it modeled, but managing people is hard. Do I get any amens to that? Amen. We're all on the same page with this. You know, when I would order watermelon, I would go through the process, and I would say, okay, we don't have enough. Great, here's the sales plan, and here's what history says we should need the next day. And then I would look at the weather, and then I would put an order in, and bam, out the other end, I would have watermelon the next day to sell. But when I've got an employee who is like, he's not rocking up on time, or he comes to work and his attitude is bad. There was no manual for me to go about ordering to see this person actually grow with what they were doing. And so that's why it's hard work. It comes back to our character. And you think about the area of leadership in church life or otherwise that you're in, the greatest thing that you can do to become a better manager or a better leader is learning how to lead people well. Now, we started becoming better leaders with this thought that if we are to be a better leader, we need to know how to lead ourselves well. And John Pierce spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. I encourage you, if you didn't listen to it, to go back and hear the things that he had to say, because it was all about making sure that God is number one in our lives. This is the starting point. God number one. And if I'm going to lead myself well, then he needs to be number one in my life. And then Alan Meyer spoke about leading small groups. This is the importance of being a good leader, is leading people and leading small groups well. But the truth about it is that people are difficult sometimes. People aren't easy. I'm not easy because I'm not simple. I mean, some people say I'm simple, simple in many other ways. But we are all so complex in our makeup. We've had different backgrounds. We perhaps believe different things. We've had different people have influence over us. And all of this produces this person that has these all of these complexities behind them, which makes it hard to lead. When you think about the little kids, you know, those kids leaders in here, you've got little kids that are learning all of these brand new things, some of which they will love and some of which they will hate. And they're forming themselves in that moment. You're having to lead them. We've got teenagers, our youth leaders, and you're leading these young people who like are wrestling with their identity. They're wondering, who am I? Like, what am I doing here? What is my purpose? When we've got adults, we're dealing with adults who have families and they're wrestling with career and they've got all these big things happening on, and even seniors with lots of wisdom and lots of experience, but some struggles too, and some long-term struggles at that. All of these things leading us to be these complex people made up of all of these different things, which is why sometimes people butt heads. But at the same time, on the other side of all those complexities, they bring their own joys. They bring their own burdens. They bring their own questions. And we want to ask the question tonight. I want to ask the question of you. When you're in leadership over those people and they come to you and they've got all of those things and all of a sudden it all comes out, what do we do? What do you do with that? What do you do in that instance? The great news is that the God that we serve, he knows every single one of them, and he knows every complexity down to the ground, even beyond what they would know themselves. Whatever insight you think that you can have, God knows it all. Beyond their past experiences, their current circumstances, their faulty beliefs, nothing is too much, nothing is too deep for God to be able to penetrate to the core of that person and to change their hearts and change their lives. We as leaders really need to remember that. Okay, this right across the globe, there is an estimated 8.2 billion people alive. 8.2 billion complex human beings. And this is the incredible thing about that number, that God knows every single one of them and every single little nuance, little issue, little thought pattern. He knows all of them. And the more that come, the more he will continue to know. This is the big God that we serve. He knows their giftings. He knows their problems. And it's true, too, that he knows yours. He knows your giftings. He knows your issues. He knows you down to the core. What a great God we serve. And tonight I want to encourage you in your leadership by pointing to the one who sees and cares all the more for every single person that we have the privilege of leading. And I've got four quick things that I want to share with you where there is a risk that if we take these things on ourselves, which we can, that we will carry this burden, but they should be in his hands. And the first one is this, that we need to understand there is a weight to leadership. Number one is the weight of leadership. Leadership can be weighty. Have you ever felt the burden of leadership? in what you've been doing. I know I have from time to time. And here's the thing, and Maddie, this is where I need your assistance. Maddie Burt, come up onto the stage again for me. And I need a couple of kids, some young kids. Have you got any young kids? No, not Judah. Yeah, come on, Vi, you come up here. Rome, do you want to come up? No? What about, yeah, I need some more. Yeah, come on, Olive, come on up here. I need a couple more. All right, come on, Rome, come on up. Good stuff. All right, so who's up there? Yeah, send them. Oh, Bryce. No, you guys are all good. No, you guys are not children. Not children. Yeah, come on, Jacob, come on up. Now, Maddie, you are our leader. So stand in the middle of these kids, right here. Matt is our leader. Oh, hey, Bentley, you're here too. Good job. Now, Matt, put these arms out like this, all right? Matt's got the arms out. Matt is the leader and he's protecting these kids. Now, think about a life group that you've been a part of, or think about an area of ministry that you're a part of, and someone comes along and what they do is, if we're not careful, they grab a hold up here. Grab onto Matt's arm. Yep. And then lift yourself up on there. Can you lift yourself up? Just grab it and lift. And Jacob, you come on this side. And then Jacob comes along as well, and he holds on. Yep, that's it. Come on, Matt, be strong. And then Violet comes along as well. Now, Violet, just grab a hold of him anywhere. And just grab him and hold him. That's it. And then Olive comes along as well, and Olive's trying to hold on too. And then Bentley comes around, and Bentley's trying, and we're bringing all of our problems, right? I'm not saying that kids are problems, but we bring in all of our problems. And Matt's like, he's trying to lead these people, but this is happening. And then you know what happens? And then Caleb Blacker comes along. Come on, Caleb. And you get someone big that comes and introduces themselves into the group or into whatever's going on, and they bring their own problems as well. And sometimes they're big problems. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You can go. Good job. Good job. Thanks, Maddie. And I know that's a bit of fun, but sometimes, honestly, like, that's what leadership can feel like when we have this weight, this burden of leadership. Because though we are leading many, many people, those complex people have their own complex issues that they bring to the table as well. And so as a leader, if we are going to remain and we are going to stay the course, and that is one of the goals that I want you to have, is not that I'm a leader for 5 minutes, but I'm a leader that continues to grow and understands that if I'm to accept the responsibility of leadership and the weight of leadership, then I'm going to know what to do with that weight, which is to continue to submit it to Christ. Going back to the first point, that God knows all of their problems. God knows all of the issues. He knows the great things about them as well. And He's the one who holds all of that in His hands. Understand the weight of leadership and what to do with that, which is submit it to God. You know, what does Jesus say? He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And I love that Jesus doesn't say, "Come to me and I will give you the manual. I will give you the Lego manual," so that when this person comes and they've got a little bit of brokenness to them, then you can just flip through the manual and you can know exactly how to rebuild them and you can make them into something beautiful. You know, I think we as leaders, we want to do that. We want to see someone come and in whatever they're going through, we want to see them leave under our care, blossoming and growing. But that's hard work. And we don't have the Lego manual for each person. But Jesus simply says, for us as leaders, to come to me and I will give you rest. Come to him, submit everything to him, and allow him to de-weight you. That is so important for us to remember. All right, so that's the first point. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, we know it. It is so important though. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I'll say this now. Sometimes in the role that I'm in, and you in the role that you're in, you have someone that comes across your path, and they're dealing with something, or they need some counseling on something, or pointing in the right direction. And sometimes we feel like when we sit there, man, I feel like ill-equipped, right? Ill-equipped to give this person what they need. And we are not meant to be experts in everything, single thing that we do when it comes to the people. But there's one thing that you can do, and this thing that you should do above all else, which is point them to the one that can give them answers and can change their life, Jesus Christ. Make it simple when you don't know what to do. The second thing is this, the weight of leadership, the insight of leadership. And let me explain that. What does that mean? The insight of leadership. To lead someone well, it helps if you know what they need, but that can be hard to know what someone needs. And whether it's a two-year-old that's learning how to trust people, or whether it's a teenager who's questioning their faith, or an adult who is trying to step back from the cliff of burnout in their lives that you're leading, or for a senior person who's battling feelings of loneliness in their age, how can we see all of that without that person actually telling us? Well, there's comfort to be found in the fact that the Lord God sees all of that, and He cares deeply about the people that we're leading so much more than we do. I like to say this to the parents who are dedicating their children. You would have heard me say it before. You need to remember that though you love your children and though you love the people you're leading, if you don't, that's the first thing that needs changing. But though you love the people that you're leading, know that God loves them even more than that. That gives us so much peace in the knowledge that even if we aren't able to deliver exactly what they need, God can and God does, and He's the one that we need to continue to point people towards. You know, Jesus in Matthew 10:30, He reminds us that God sees and knows every single hair on everyone's head. Yeah, He knows some people a lot more than others, I know, in that one. But He knows, He sees it all the detail. You know, there are some people who you can just tell what's going on in their life because they live it on the outside. Anyone walk into the room, you just know if they're up or if they're down because it is all over their face, right? But then there are some people that no matter how deep a relationship you have with them, you actually can't see the inner workings of their heart. This is where the Holy Spirit and this is where discernment comes in, because God has given us the greatest gift that we could ever receive in the Holy Spirit. And that for the Christian leader means that we're able to have that discernment, that we are able to see the need in someone perhaps even before they know what they need. And we rely on God to interpret that and to see that change happen. God will give that to you in His wisdom. So when it comes to seeing someone, the insight of leadership comes from knowing the one who can give you that insight in the first place, the Holy Spirit. Always ask Him for direction. The third part that we need to be careful of, that doesn't become a burden to us, is the glory of leadership. The glory of leadership. What do we mean by that? Well, the responsibility to lead people is a great blessing given by God. Absolutely wonderful. But if we're not careful, we can end up leading for our own success. Or we can lead because it's an area of comfort for us. Or we can lead because we get recognition for that leadership instead of giving the glory to God. Now, there is glory to be found in leadership as we have people look to us, but that glory needs to consistently be given back to God. And this is, again, an act of de-weighting ourselves. And I want to encourage you as leaders, if someone comes and they say to you, man, I love that tonight, or thanks for calling, or I think you're doing a great job, let us continue to let that just hit us and bounce straight. It is because of God's grace for me. It is because of what He has done in my heart that I give all glory and I return it to Him. The truth about yours and my leadership is that leadership is also an act of worship. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. This is for us in everything that we do. Do all that you do for the glory of God. We are to make God known in the lives of the people we serve. And I think this is a great filter for us as well. You know, sometimes you can lead. I remember being in youth leadership myself, and there were some activities that we would try and, you know, think up, and, you know, Nick and I would have robust discussion about whether that should be on the list or off the list when it came to what we were doing. Some of them just for the joy, just to make kids have fun or whatever. But especially in that space, there was always this, there was this line that you just did not want to get on the wrong side. You didn't want to just do things for the sake of it. And with leadership, we can think about that sometimes. Well, if I employ this tactic, then I'm going to get that deliverable, whether it be life groups and food or other bits and pieces to appeal to someone else. But here's the filter for all of that. If my leadership of people is an act of worship, then what does that say about this activity that we're actually putting in place? Let that guide you when it comes to that group that you're leading, or from a kids' ministry point of view, and what we're speaking about, the content, the activities. Is this, if leadership is an act of worship, then is this a reflection of that worship to God? Because it is all for the glory of Him. And that is a good test of the attitude of our heart as well. You know, think about our worship team point of view as well. Man, there's some songs that I'm sure the team would love to do, and this is fun and that is fun. I mean, but hey, like, what is the filter in this? Is this worship, or is this just me doing what I want to do? And that we all need to ask that question of ourselves to test our heart. And the last one, point four, is this, that we need to remember that there is a posture of leadership that we need to adopt, a posture of leadership. A certain posture that we need to adopt to prevent things becoming about us. When you think about a leader, I think the typical thought for somebody is this. Somebody who has their shoulders back and they have their head upright and I am standing here ready and I'm standing here to lead. And there's a strength that comes, or that we think looks from that stance in leading. But remember, as we remember, it's not about us. We posture ourselves in the same way that Jesus did, which is to be a servant. To be a servant. And this requires humility. A humility that says, I'm not perfect. A humility that says, you know, if I made a mistake, then hey, I did, and I can be better. I'm going to acknowledge that. A humility that says that if you think what I did was good, then praise God for the way He's gifted me to be able to do that well. You know, Jesus said, and Pastor Graham mentioned it this morning in John 5:19, He said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. What a test that is in our leadership, that we hear what the Father says, that we only do what He asks of us in that space. I remember Chris Nelson doing a devotion for us in the office one time, and she looked through the Old Testament kings and the prophets, and the nature of them inquiring of the Lord, and the importance of them in making a leadership decision, making a decision about what direction to go in or what to do, of the difference between those that inquired of the Lord actively and those who just said, I'm going to do this based on my own wisdom or my own experience. And the longer we go in leadership, and the more wisdom that we gain, and the more knowledge we gain, and you might, from a youth leadership point of view, you're coming underneath someone who's led for many, many years, and you see them, and that is great. But no amount of good modeling replaces the necessity of us as leaders to simply come and inquire of the Lord when it comes to direction. I want you to remember that, whether it's the most simple thing of what content are we going to do, what are we going to have for dinner tonight with this group, to some of the big things about what is the overall direction that we're going in with this team or with this group, whatever your capacity is, we need to come to that point where we are inquiring of the Lord. We only do what He says, that we serve. You know, again, that image of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, one of the dirtiest of dirty jobs to do, and yet Jesus, the King of all kings, comes down and He washes the disciples' feet. How awkward that would have been for them. And we read that. But that is the attitude that we are to take on as leaders as well. It is not pride, it is humility. And to finalize this, I just want to give you a couple of practices, four practices of leadership, and making it really practical. If we're to become better leaders, we need to make sure that within this context of church or beyond, we do this. The first one is this, that we pray first. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about inquiring of the Lord. that we need to make sure that prayer is not our last resort, but it is our first port of call. We need God to guide us. We need Him to sustain us. We need Him to reveal to us where we have accepted a weight that is too heavy for us to carry, that we might release it to Him. We need to continue to pray first. Before we go into anything, inquire of the Lord. And pray through the middle of it. Pray at the end of it and continue to pray that God would have His way. The second thing we need to do is this. We need to listen well. A practice of a great leader is to listen well. You know, James 1:19 says that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And this is extremely important when we acknowledge the fact that we are in positions of leading people, and people are complex, and managing people is difficult, that we need to have this like right on every time we go into that situation, to be patient with those who God is continuing to refine. See it through that lens of that refinement process. This person is not perfect. They are a work in progress. And so I'm going to have grace and I'm going to do my best to continue to maintain that attitude towards them. Number three is this. Of course, we need to stay rooted in the Word. Stay rooted in the Word. Our leadership must be grounded in Scripture. It's not our opinions. It's not what we've heard. It's not just the good thoughts that we repeat from somebody else. It has to be grounded in the Word and what the Bible says. And number four is this. Above all else, let's remember the goal. You know, our groups are not about numbers. They're not about performance. They're not about recognition for us. Our leadership and our groups are all about the faithfulness to God and pointing people to Him. That is how we stay true to the call on our lives as leaders. So again, we acknowledge the fact that leadership is challenging when it comes to leading others, but we do not carry this burden alone. And we see it serve a God who sees every heart, He sees every struggle, and He invites us to rely on Him. And so whether you lead the two-year-olds or our one-year-olds in our creche ministry up the back, whether you're leading our kids in kids' church on Friday nights, our Jelly Beans families from the area, our youth team, our young adults, in men's or women's or a life group, or any other seniors, any other part of church life, we need to remember that our calling is to glorify God by serving His people with love, with humility, and with faithfulness. Keep your eyes on Him, and He will equip us for the work ahead. So let's endeavor to lead well and to continue to grow in our leadership. You know, this is a three-week taster, really, to grow in our leadership. And my hope is that out the other end of this, that you would continue to endeavor to grow in your leadership of others. Not so that things that we see grow, not that we might catch greater recognition, but that God would be glorified all the more. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.